the record. I've got the attendance sheet up here. Anybody not sign the attendance sheet out in the audience? Apparently everybody has. If you haven't, please come up during the luncheon recess, and we want to have a record of who's all here. So Ms. Smith is calling her next witness, Mr. Hunker.
Yes.
I need to swear you in, and you heard the admonition I gave in regard to perjury, correct?
Yes, I did.
Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Ms. Smith, please.
Could you please state your name for the commission?
Brian Hunker.
And who are you employed by?
HDR Engineering.
And what is your business address?
701 Zini Avenue South, Suite 600, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And what is your educational background?
Received a bachelor's in science from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I have 10 years environmental consulting experience on energy projects.
And could you tell the commission about your work history?
Sure. Throughout my career, I've gained...
Well, just a second, please, Mr. Hunker. Are you getting that back there? Or you asked to turn the volume up a little bit. Is it coming through back there? A little bit higher? Okay.
And Brian, you may need to slow down a little.
I got you.
Okay. Please continue, Mr. Hunker.
Sure. Throughout my career, I have gained project management, compliance, and permitting experience, working on linear energy transmission projects, transmission and pipeline projects. I have a broad understanding of the regulatory framework relating to federal, state, environmental review documents, have led routing studies, gathered environmental and land use data through windshield and field surveys. I have analyzed data in GIS, participated in public meetings, stakeholder outreach, and public open houses.
And what is your role with respect to the project that is the subject of today's hearing?
Environmental consulting project manager.
And so in that role, were you involved in the environmental analysis of the project route?
Yes.
And you were also involved in preparation of the route permit application?
Yes.
And we'll talk a bit about these compliance with the siting rules. Could you please discuss whether there are any exclusion areas crossed by the project route?
Sure. As shown in Table 3.1-1 of the route permit application, there is one exclusion area that will be spanned by the project. This exclusion area are areas critical to the life stages of threatened and endangered species. In particular, this is the critical habitat for the federally threatened piping plover. The Missouri River is designated critical habitat for the piping plover, and the project will span the Missouri River. It is important to note that there will be no direct impacts to the critical habitat, as structures will be placed approximately 150 feet back from the river's edge. Minn Kota will not construct across the Missouri River during the piping plover's typical breeding season, and during construction, no equipment will be located within the Missouri River. The Rural Utility Service, or RUS, has engaged the United States Fish and Wildlife Service in the Section 7 consultation process as a part of the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, process to ensure that the project will not endanger the continued existence of any listed species or adversely modify designated critical habitats.
And could you please discuss whether there are any avoidance areas that are crossed by the project route?
Sure, the avoidance areas crossed by the project route are discussed in Table 3.2-1 of the route permit application, and I'll briefly discuss these avoidance areas and how the project will avoid them. First are designated or state wildlife management areas. There's one wildlife management area, the Wilbert Bolt WMA, that will be spanned by the project, and Minn Kota is coordinated with the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, and no structures will be located within, and no lines will cross the WMA. Minn Kota has obtained an overhang easement from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, and access will be maintained and recreational activity may continue. Second criteria are historical resources not designated as exclusion or avoidance areas. There are two types of cultural resources along the project route, archaeology sites and architectural sites, and archaeology sites are those typically on the ground surface or below the surface. Architectural sites are historic building or structure. So there are 29 archaeological sites identified within the project right-of-way. 12 structures will be located within six archaeological site boundaries. Structure locations will avoid impacts to site features. So you can think of a site boundary as drawn around a cluster of features, and a feature would be a stone circle or a cairn. So in other words, a site isn't completely filled with resources, but as holes. And the structures will be placed within these areas without features. And Minn Kota is coordinating with the State Historic Preservation Office on these structure locations. There are 36 architectural resources were identified within the project's Architectural Area of Potential Effect, or APE. And that's defined as a half mile on either side of the project right-of-way center line and 1 mile on either side of the project right-of-way center line at the Missouri River crossing. Of these properties, one property was listed on the National Register of Historic Places, and 9 are recommended as eligible for listing. One historic structure that is eligible for listing on the National Register of Historic Places has been identified as being adversely visually affected by the project, and mitigation will be implemented to minimize the visual impact. This mitigation will be screening with vegetation, and the SHPO has concurred with the mitigation, proposed mitigation. Third avoidance area are facilities, is the facility within 500 feet of a residence. Minn Kota developed a route to avoid occupied homes by maximizing setbacks to the extent practical. In some instances, it was preferable for the project route to pass within 500 feet of an occupied residence due to other routing factors. 9 occupied or vacant but habitable residences are within 500 feet of the transmission facility. 1 vacant, not habitable home is located within the project route and will be removed. Minn Kota has obtained waivers of the 500-foot setback requirements for the 9 occupied or habitable homes and the 1 vacant, not habitable home. Fourth avoidance criteria are water sources for organized rural water districts. The McCluskey Canal will be crossed by the project route at 2 locations. 1 structure will be placed on the uplands of the canal, and no direct impacts to the McCluskey Canal or water available for rural water districts are anticipated. Minn Kota will obtain a special use permit from the United States Bureau of Reclamation for spanning the canal at 1 location and installing 1 structure in the canal lands at the 2nd location. Rural water pipelines are potentially present and no impacts are anticipated, as Minn Kota will survey for the underground utilities to avoid impacts. Fifth avoidance area are areas of recreational significance not designated as exclusion areas. The North Country National Scenic Trail, the Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail, and the Chain of Lakes Recreation Area, McCluskey Canal, will be crossed by the project route. Minn Kota will span the trails and the Chain of Lakes Recreation Area. No structures will be located within the Chain of Lakes Recreation Area, and Minn Kota will obtain a special use permit from the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation for spanning the Chain of Lakes Recreation Area. Visual impacts have been minimized by placing structures away from features to the extent practical, and access to these resources will be maintained so that recreational activities may continue. There are no reasonable alternatives to crossing these resources since the trails run along the Missouri River and the McCluskey Canal. The project route will cross the Missouri River near an existing transmission line and will cross the Chain of Lakes Recreation Area parallel to State Highway 41.
And will any significant adverse effects resulting from the location, construction, and operation of the project as they relate to the selection criteria set forth in the Commission's rules be at an acceptable minimum or managed and maintained at an acceptable minimum?
Yes, they will. And you can see Section 3.3 and Table 3.3-1 of the route permit application for the selection criteria.
And if you'll look at what's been previously marked and admitted as Exhibit H, could you identify that exhibit for us?
Yes, Exhibit H contains updated versions of Section 4.1, which is a general route description, and Table 5.17-1 of the route permit application. And Table 5.17-1 is a summary of impacts.
And could you, in general terms, explain what was updated in those two portions of that exhibit?
Yes, the updates take into account the alignment modifications identified in Exhibit B and the final structure placements provided in Exhibit F. Examples of the updates include a reduction in the number of homes within 500 feet of the facility from 11 to 10, 1 acre increase in prime farmland impacts, one less structure in a floodplain, therefore a slight reduction in floodplain impacts, but overall the changes are minor from what was filed in the application.
Let's talk a bit about the studies conducted for this project. Could you discuss what studies were conducted and when the reports associated with those studies were filed?
Sure, a number of environmental studies were conducted over the course of developing the project corridor. The studies that were filed with the Certificate of Corridor Compatibility application include the macro corridor study, scoping report, environmental assessment with scoping, class one literature, cultural resources class one literature search, and a raptor nest survey. Additional environmental studies were conducted during development of the project route. The reports associated with some of these studies were provided with the route application, and these include the deeply buried site report, historic building inventory and evaluation report, Cheyenne River hydrology study technical memo. Some reports were not completed until after the route permit application was filed, but were completed prior to today's hearing. And these reports include the historic property treatment plan, revised architectural APE technical memo, class three cultural resources inventory report, and two addendums to that report, a deeply buried site technical memo, wetland delineation report, and one addendum, and a tree sampling plan.
And just starting with the one of the reports that was filed with the route permit application, the historic building inventory and evaluation report, could you explain what is contained in that report?
Sure, the historic building inventory report was filed as Appendix E to the route permit application. And the Rural Utilities Service and the North Dakota SHPO requested that the project consider potential effects to historic buildings and structures. And the goal of this survey was to provide information regarding the type, distribution of historic structures within the architectural APE. And the inventory identified 36 architectural resources within the APE, and one would be adversely visually affected. Mitigation will be implemented to minimize this visual impact, and SHPO has concurred with the mitigation.
And if you'll look at what's been marked and admitted as Exhibit I, is that the treatment plan for this one particular property that may be impacted that was agreed to or concurred with by SHPO?
Yes, it's the report and the concurrence letter.
And then let's just talk briefly about the reports that have been finalized since the route permit application was filed. And if you'll look at what's been previously marked and admitted as Exhibit J, can you identify that exhibit for us?
Yes, Exhibit J is a revised architectural APE tech memo with SHPO concurrence.
And could you discuss the findings and any conclusions in that tech memo?
Yes, this technical memo is an update to the historic building inventory that was provided in Appendix E of the route permit application and covers the revised architectural APE due to alignment shifts within the modified corridor areas. This study found that all the buildings documented within the revised APE did not have sufficient age or integrity to merit the consideration as a historic property, and SHPO concurred with this conclusion.
And then if you'll look at what's been previously marked as Exhibit K, and it's actually a separate exhibit from the main binder, can you identify what that exhibit contains?
Exhibit K contains the Class 3 Cultural Resources Inventory, two addendums to that inventory with SHPO concurrence letters.
And could you just discuss briefly the overall conclusions of those three reports?
Sure, the Class 3 inventories identified 29 archaeological sites within the project right-of-way. Eight sites were within SHPO's database and 21 were previously unrecorded. Structure locations will avoid impacts to site features, and SHPO concurred with the inventory's determinations of no historic properties affected, no significant sites affected, as well as the recommendations regarding remaining shovel testing, avoidance areas, and National Register status.
And if you'll look at what's been previously marked as Exhibit L, and it's also been admitted, can you tell us what that exhibit is?
Yes, it is the deeply buried site technical memo with a SHPO concurrence.
And what's the purpose of that technical memo?
It's an update to the deeply buried site report that was provided in Appendix D of the route permit application and covers the alignment shifts that were made after the initial report was completed.
And then if you'll look at what's been previously marked and admitted as Exhibit M, can you identify that for us?
Yes, it's the wetland delineation report with one addendum.
And could you discuss the overall findings and conclusions of those two reports?
Sure, the reports document 32 structures that will be located in wetlands, causing approximately 107 acres of temporary impact and about 2,500 square feet of permanent impact. The permanent impacts will be permitted by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Nationwide Permit Number 12, and a pre-construction notification will be filed approximately 45 days prior to construction.
And if you'll look at what's been previously marked and admitted as Exhibit N, could you tell us what that exhibit is?
Yes, it's the tree inventory plan.
And could you discuss the purpose of the tree inventory plan?
Yes, the plan outlines a process for identifying trees and shrubs in high-density areas within the 150-foot-wide right-of-way. And a tree inventory report and a tree replacement report will be developed and filed with the commission. And Minn Kota will comply with the commission's tree and shrub replacement specifications.
And as far as cultural resource work, is there any work that has not yet been completed for the project route?
Yes, there are approximately 16 properties or about 2 miles of route remaining for shovel testing. And in addition, we are going to evaluate the two potential route shifts that were presented earlier today.
And just to clarify, you're going to evaluate not necessarily that those have to have additional testing done, is that right?
Correct. They may not need survey, but we're going to evaluate the need for that survey.
All right. And if you'll look at what's been marked as Exhibit O, and there's O1 through 3, can you identify that exhibit for us?
Yes. These exhibits, O1 through O3, identify the areas requiring shovel testing, and they're identified in the yellow color. And you'll note that there's a slight overlap between the two maps, so all areas remaining for shovel testing are shown on Exhibit O1.
And why has shovel testing not yet been completed on those parcels?
Well, initially, Minn Kota did not have permission to survey some parcels, and once Minn Kota obtained survey permission, pedestrian surveys were completed, and weather conditions such as frozen ground prohibited completion of shovel testing on the area shown in Exhibit O. And shovel testing is a standard methodology for archaeological survey that determines whether soils contain cultural material not visible on the surface. So typically a soil is hand shoveled and screened to identify cultural material. And when the ground is frozen, the screening process is very difficult to complete. So in general, shovel testing will confirm that a structure avoids impacting a site's features.
And when do you anticipate that the remaining shovel testing will be completed and a report prepared?
Shovel testing will be completed in the spring of 2012 following ground thaw, and a report addressing these areas will be prepared and submitted to SHPO once the shovel testing is complete.
And in addition to the formal studies that you've just discussed for us, are there any other surveys that are planned prior to construction of the proposed project?
Yes, we plan to do some pre-construction surveys that will help pre-construction surveys will be conducted to help minimize impacts upon biological resources. These studies include the piping plover habitat survey, sharp-tailed grouse lek surveys, grassland nesting bird surveys, Dakota skipper surveys, and a raptor nest surveys.
And you've previously testified that the project is undergoing a federal NEPA review process and that you've been involved in that process, is that correct?
Correct.
Could you tell us what the current status of that NEPA process is?
Well, it is our understanding that the FONSI was signed yesterday.
All right. And if you'll look at what's been marked as Exhibit P in the exhibit binder, and that's also been admitted, could you identify that document for us?
Yes, Exhibit P is an update to the permits and approvals checklist.
And finally, in your opinion, based on your study and review, the exhibits and testimony presented here today, and the siting statutes and rules, will construction of the proposed project produce minimal adverse environmental effects?
Yes.
I have no further questions.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Mr. Sagsvin, please.
I don't have any questions, although I'm glad to hear that his prediction for the FONSI being completed in February was accurate at our last hearing.
Thank you. Mr. Lean?
I'm debating whether to ask for that FONSI as a late file exhibit. And
it's a condition to the order that copies permits being provided.
I think it was a leap here.
No questions, Your Honor.
Thank you. Commissioner Clark, please.
I have no questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Craig.
Thank you.
Commissioner Kalk. No questions. No further questions of Mr. Hunker?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Hunker.
Thank you.
Well, I think this would be an appropriate time when we're done with the applicant's case. I assume you're complete?
Yes. Except for rebuttal if necessary.
Correct. Yeah, there may be some rebuttal testimony after the public testimony, but that remains to be seen. Again, I'm going to ask, anybody didn't sign the attendance sheet? Did not sign the attendance sheet. Apparently everybody did. Okay. When we return from lunch, which will be approximately 1 hour, we'll start approximately 12:30, I think. 12:35. Yeah. Well, let's start at 12:30. So we'll break for lunch, and when we resume at 12:30, we'll take public testimony. So we'll stand recessed.